Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's get out to Ryan McGuffey. He, of course, senior producer with NBC Sports Chicago and a man that that does a lot of White Sox talk, the podcast. Always a joy to listen to him. And Ryan, you went with the man who insists on being called Mon Capitan, even though I believe he's from here. No, David Kaplan. You went down there with him, and we're a part of that interview. What? First of all, good morning, Ryan. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. I'm good, guys. I really appreciate you having me on, as always.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I'm not. I guess I'm just not as clued into that as others. I think it's great. He hasn't talked in a long time, and I can't even remember him saying much. And it's weird because we do the panel at the convention every year with the Ricketts family. And there's always a question about Sammy Sosa, and it's not the same person asking it. So there is this connection. I just thought with the World Series and everything else that they had moved on.
Yeah, Tom says
era.
He's stopped by fans all the time. One of the first questions asked, hey, when are you bringing Sammy into the fold?
And I mean, I don't know how to feel about it because it seems like everybody else has been brought back, including Manny Ramirez works for the Cubs and has had his issues. So. For whatever reason, Sammy has just not been as forthright as the family seems to want him to be or Tom wants him to be. Will this break the ice in any way, Ryan, from what you heard from him?
I mean, I sure hope so. I'm kind of on your side on this. I don't really understand it either. And I could see why fans every year bring it up because, look, I mean, he's probably the greatest Cub of the last quarter century. If you go back and just look at, I know Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo are going to be in the conversation, but they're going to be in the conversation in a few years. I mean, you're talking about just a couple of years. And, yes, a World Series under their belt. But I don't know if a player did more for a franchise that really hadn't succeeded. You know, you're talking about teams that won 70, 80 games perennially, or annually, I should say. And here's a guy that just has kind of gone away and, like, been locked in a closet. And you mentioned other players, Barry Bonds, whether Manny Ramirez. Look at Barry Bonds, for example. He was welcomed back this year's 50th anniversary of the San Francisco Giants and on opening day. He's never apologized or admitted anything. And 45,000 fans at AT&T Park out there are on their feet welcoming Barry Bonds back. Sammy Sosa, there's a couple things that came out of it. Number one, he doesn't want an ambassador role. He doesn't want a job. I just think he wants to be invited back to have, Sammy Sosa Day or whatever. He comes out, throws the first pitch, runs out to right field, like he did all those years from in the early 90s all the way through 2004, where the right field bleachers went crazy. And I think fans just want that acknowledgement one more time, and I think Sammy does too, and then he goes back home to Miami. So, and I know there's this big, he needs to apologize thing, or we need some truth as to what, some transgressions and all this stuff. And we got probably as close to an apology as you're going to get. And I think it's open to, it's a blanket apology. I think it's kind of open to interpretation where he says,
if, and then, I was in my zone. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't think Tom Ricketts heard what he wanted to hear. And, unfortunately for Sammy, Tom is the man right now. And Tom started as a fan in the bleachers, met his wife out there. So it's not just some guy who came in and tried to make a buck on the Cubs. He told his dad he wanted to buy the Cubs for multiple reasons. One, that it was a good investment. But two, I mean, this is something that meant a lot to him. So I'm with you. He came close to apologizing, but Sammy being Sammy, he pulled back. The pitch was coming across the plate, and he didn't offer fully on that one.
I guess I'm just trying to figure out why Sammy has to apologize, or what does he owe it to? All due respect to the Ricketts family, what they've done is, it's phenomenal. I think it's a blueprint for every organization, but I just don't understand the apology that's needed or what they want. And quite frankly, like, if I'm Sammy Sosa 20 years later, what would I apologize for? I don't. I don't understand the benefit to Sammy at this point to apologize or admit anything. Unless it's strictly to come back to Wrigley Field. If he really feels like he needs that in his life, then sure. But I can tell you one thing. When we left there, I told Kaplan that I said, if Sammy never comes back to Wrigley Field, I think he's going to be okay. Like, his life seems to be in order, and he seems to be just fine. But I think as long as this continues to be a topic, you know, every year it's going to continue to be a question at the convention. I think this is going to go on until there's a definitive statement from one side or another that says he's never coming back, or Sammy, you know, does what Tom wants. So I think this will, you guys are going to talk about, you know, hosting the convention every year, and I think you're going to continue to get this question.
You know, the other part of your package was Kerry Wood. And, yeah. You know, he's become kind of the poster player for everyone who's against Sammy. And
Ambassador Wood to you, Mr.
Yeah, I'm sorry. He does have a job. What was
he
your
take? Great in that tuxedo.
What was your take? The sash is nice. He walks around town. What was your take of Kerry's statement? Because it wasn't like, oh, I would welcome him back, or, you know, all's forgiven, or, I mean, he came to play every day. He took care of his body, and I can see why fans would want him back. It seemed like he kind of said what some people would expect to be a welcoming when I heard it, it really wasn't.
Totally agree. I was there for that Kerry Wood interview too, and that wasn't with Kaplan. I was just with some of the producers that are doing something for Kerry Wood's 20 strikeout game, and I was actually kind of shocked, because I'm with you. I thought that Kerry Wood was at least on that other side of the fence, where they kind of stood there and was like, look, there's multiple examples of run-ins with Sammy and Kerry, and they're all well-known, whether it's the boombox or whatever. Sammy's music at one end of the clubhouse and Kerry's music at the other end of the clubhouse. And, you know, Kerry seemed to not have a problem with him. And kind of backed it up again off the record in a conversation with Kaplan, just to reiterate, like, hey, look, Sammy was cool with me. You know, you're talking about 25 alpha males in a clubhouse, and, you know, playing a sport. You're not always going to get along. And that's, you know, that carries over to 2018, and it's going to carry over to 2038. You're always going to have this, where egos are getting in the way. And you know, I just think that time, there's a lot of things that went wrong, the way things were handled. You know, who allowed, you know, it's one of those, you know, old-time baseball rules where the pitcher picks the music every day when they're pitching, and except for when Sammy Sosa was on the Cubs, Sammy got to run the boombox and the music, and that's where you'd have, like, the dueling pianos, basically, in the Cubs clubhouse, and the organization allowed it. You know, it was a different time. They kind of let Sammy run his own way, and I think that allowed him to kind of get away with stuff that a lot of teams probably wouldn't have put up with, and maybe got to where we are today. And there's other things, you know, whether it's the alleged PED stuff, or, you know, the way he left in 04, or the cork bat. I mean, there's things that Sammy's got some stuff. But I don't think anyone's void of skeletons in the closet and stuff like that. Sammy didn't, you know, break any laws technically, and he didn't hurt anybody off the field. I mean, if we're talking about a bad guy in terms of breaking the law and stuff, yeah, then I'm all in. Like, he shouldn't be ever back. But you're talking about a baseball player who a lot of people turned blind eyes to in that era, for what, you know, he's alleged to be a part of. And I keep saying alleged because I don't want to pigeonhole him into a corner, because I think the suspicions are, they're real.
Well, the New York Times did publish his name and connect him to were supposed to be anonymous tests. And when baseball was trying to figure out if it had a PED problem, and no one sued the New York Times for defamation. I mean, so.
Point taken, yeah.
Yeah.
He's Ryan McGuffey, the senior producer, NBC Sports Chicago. And I want to ask you about the White Sox before we get out of here. But Ryan, why? Why the trip down? I know you guys. I know Cap has gone down there previously thinking he was going to get Sammy Sosa. Did Sammy reach out, or is this just kind of his David's holy grail in a way?
No, we're actually doing a project that's kind of led by another producer, John Graff, that's titled The Summer of Sammy. the 20 years of since 98. And we're kind of going through the, you know, chronologically, the 66 home runs and looking back on that season that saved, you know, quite frankly, that saved baseball, whether guys were taking stuff or not. It's just, it is what it is. And, so that's kind of where the idea came from as to why, you know, let's reach out to Sammy. We had meetings and we were talking and I said, hey, look, if you don't have Sammy to talk about the summer of Sammy, I don't know how many legs this project has. So that's kind of where it started. And then once Kaplan started picking up traction, it moved pretty quick and we had a date pretty quick. And, it was last Tuesday and we flew down. It was one of those, you know, early morning flights there and late evening flights home. And, you know, there was some strategy involved when we were talking about questioning because we couldn't go down there responsibly and not ask about some stuff, you know, about coming back, about we had to kind of creatively, and you guys know this, we had to creatively get into PED suspicion. And we talked about that, you know, leading up into the trip down there. But that's why we're going to have stuff kind of blanketed all summer long, but this stuff was like the most pressing stuff we felt like we had to get out now.
And I don't think a lot of people remember it, but baseball was party to all that, in my opinion.
Sure.
I mean, I remember, Ryan, in that era, everybody was, oh, no. You know, even if they were taking steroids, it wouldn't help. Are you kidding? Baseball so hard, round bat, round ball. And yep. And baseball turned a blind eye.
You were
coming off the strike stuff, and it was, you know, the fans were down, and it brought back everyone to the game.
Absolutely. And that's why, like, it just – that's why I'm a little baffled by everything because, you know, like, I was devastated when the 94 White Sox, when that all went downhill and I thought that the 94 Sox were going to be in the World Series. And it took 98, I was all in with everybody else. And for like those three seasons, kind of everybody was. And then it was like, wait a minute, what's going on here? And by, you know, 1999 at the State of the Union, Sammy Sosa is there getting a standing ovation from Congress. And 6 years later, that same Congress is pointing fingers going, what did you do?
And he can't speak English.
Yeah, now how Sammy and the rest of the five guys that were sweating profusely for that hour and a half or whatever handled it, that's another story. But even Congress themselves wavered, which, you know, that's not a shock. But
well, Ryan, 20 years from now, you'll be doing the You Had Us in 2018 retrospective.
I don't think so. Ryan, and I know he doesn't really talk to this, and Cap sort of talked to it, but he said before that he put some cream on his – he's using some kind of cream. Yeah, he is – he just – it was shocking to see him at the State of the Union and then see the guy you're interviewing. I mean, he looks like he had a race change operation. I've never seen a guy – well, we have. We've seen Michael Jackson kind of got a little crazy with that stuff.
Right.
Did he address that, or does he say anything about it? I know he said it's the devil. The talk of it is from the devil, but
he's living his life. He said, and that no one needs to worry about it.
Yeah, I mean, you guys heard the answer right there. I mean, you had to ask it. It's a hard question to ask.
Right.
When three white guys are down there asking a guy about skin color,
right?
You know, it has to be asked because of some of the pictures that we've seen. Now, I will say this: I was with Kaplan in 13. When we interviewed Sammy Sosa for the Five Outs documentary, and it was he looked way different than he did on Tuesday. He actually, when he walked into the room Tuesday, I think the crew was like all expecting this, like, you know, jaw dropping appearance. And it wasn't that jaw dropping. Obviously he's not as dark as he was in 1999 at the State of the Union, but it wasn't as jarring where it just completely threw you off guard. As 2013, that was more of like the pictures that we've actually seen, you know, some of those shocking ones that we see that pop up on Twitter or on the internet or something.
Yeah. All right. Quickly on the White Sox, are they? I mean, you know, I was saying we talked about this morning. If they said it after the game, if they were in contention for anything, they'd have pulled Giolito out of that game. It's obviously about development and they're trying to give everybody a chance and face leverage situations and all that stuff, but. Man, they got a lot of really good young pitching, and it's going to be very interesting to see even the guys up now. I think Ronaldo Lopez is good; has looked real good. But when you talk about Fulmer and Giolito and other pitchers, you know, the next wave may move guys into the bullpen that you didn't expect to be bullpen guys.
Yeah, but here's the thing. The bullpen right now is not a championship. It's just not that good of a bullpen. But that's on purpose because
right.
when it's time to have a good bullpen, they're going to pay to have one, and they're going to have a lot more knowledge about where guys are going to fit, you know, talk in this depth that you're talking about, whether it's Fulmer or, you know, I'm just bringing them names, Dane Dunning, Dylan Cease, all these guys that are coming, they're going to have a lot more options, you know, down the line. This season, like, you know, they're Sox fans, and you guys get it too, that are panicking, like, all the time. They get it, they blow a save, you know, in the ninth inning against the Cardinals, and it's like, this, I can't watch this stuff. And you just, they just have to remember that this is year two of a rebuild, and this is part of the, you know, it's, it does it stink? Absolutely. It stinks to watch a guy blow a save when you have the Cardinals on the ropes. But I keep looking at, like, what's Yoán Moncada doing his last 15, 18 games? He's hitting over 350. There's some real progress with what he's doing. Lucas Giolito couldn't find the strike zone in his first three starts for whatever reason after a great spring training. Now he's starting to settle in. Ronaldo Lopez looks like a stud. Carson Fulmer, who everybody wanted to scratch after three starts, has been great the last couple of starts.
So, Moncada looks like he's on track all of a sudden and maybe as good a position player as
he's got three different injuries, though. You got to watch that, right?
I'm just saying.
Hey, I'm with you. To me, it's all about, like, if you only watch Yoán Moncada and Tim Anderson, whoever's pitching as one of these guys, every night, and you see progress from there, and then there's other pieces, like Matt Davidson's been a nice, like, he was great on opening day, kind of fell back into the old Matt Davidson, and now he's got his average up around 260. Like, maybe is he a piece? Well, that's part of what this season's figuring out. It's development across the board. Who's a keeper? Who's a plug-and-play guy? Who's a guy that's no longer going to be part of this? And it's going to be frustrating. I didn't think that they would be 8-19, but, you know, I didn't also expect them to be 82-80 either, so it's part of it.
Ryan, thank you. Appreciate your time, man.
Bye, boys. Talk to you later.
Thanks,
that's
Ryan.
Ryan McGuffey from NBC Sports Chicago does a great job. We got Ozzie Guillen coming up next. Mully and Haley on The Score.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.